This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm here together with
Christine Wong.
It is September 30th, the last day of the month, the last of quarter three. And today we're talking about companies and how they can prepare for exit. So as the year comes to an exit, we're also thinking about how do you prepare for an exit. So with the mergers and acquisition culture becoming more common in today's business environment, many business owners and startup entrepreneurs need to seriously consider having an exit strategy in place just in case. And there are many ways to go about it and different factors to consider. In just a moment, Ray Chow, CEO of Infront Consulting Group, Master Business Coach at Owner Circle and President of EO Malaysia, Dan Lain Lain, will be joining us to discuss the intricacies behind the whole process and maybe help business owners out there prepare themselves better. In the meantime, if you have any thoughts around this as well, you can also tweet to us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp at 018-789-8899. So for clarity, a business exit strategy is a business owners or entrepreneurs move to sell ownership in a company to investors or another company. So an exit strategy provides business owners a way to reduce or liquidate his or her stake of the business. And of course, if the business is a successful one, a large profit is a good motivation, right, Ray? Anyway, on the flip side, if the business has not been successful, an exit strategy or exit plan will also enable them to, I guess, you know, cut their losses, right? And some investors, such as venture capitalists, use exit strategies and method to cash out on an investment.
Mm-hmm. And ideally, business owners should be thinking about and developing an exit strategy in their initial business planning. The method of exit can influence business development decisions. So some common types of exit strategies include initial public offerings or IPOs, strategic acquisitions, and also management buyouts. Which exit strategy to go with ultimately depends on several factors, such as how much control or involvement, where applicable, they want to retain in the business, or whether they want the company to be run the same way as before. So, as an example, a strategic acquisition will relieve the founder of their ownership responsibilities, which also means the founder is giving up control. IPOs are often regarded as the holy grail of exit strategies, as they often involve a degree of prestige and offer the highest payoff. But, you know, conversely, bankruptcy is also an alternative way to exit a business. But most likely, that's, you know, the least desirable way to go about it.
Right. So different business exit strategies will also offer different levels of liquidity. Sale of ownership via strategic acquisition can offer the best return of liquidity in the shortest time. But this will also depend on how the acquisition is structured. The appeal of the exit strategy will also have to rely on market conditions. So as an example, an IPO might not be the best option during a recession, and a management buyout may not be attractive to a buyer when interest rates are high.
And according to an article by PwC, there are some important pointers to remember when preparing to exit a business. So the first of which is setting your objectives. So maximizing the value of your business is a common and important objective in the entire sales process, but it's not the only one to consider. Other considerations should be maintaining the culture built post-acquisition and ensuring employees are taken care of under the new management and confidentiality details as well.
Right. And the second thing is to take the time to prepare properly. So you can generally achieve better results if a period of at least 6 to 12 months is taken to plan the sale of your business, and this should include completing pre-sale due diligence exercises, including operational, human capital, commercial, and financial taxation scrutiny. And such checks can help you identify the value drivers or risks in the business.
Yeah, and also you have to look at your business from the perspective of a buyer. The most likely buyers of the business will predictably pay the highest price. So it's important to identify who they are and how they assess value, so you can prepare your business by maximizing its value and competitive tension on sale. Now, it's also worth remembering, though, the highest price doesn't always mean they're the right buyer for the business.
All right. Okay. And making yourself redundant is another factor. So if you're the key person running the whole business, there needs to be a succession plan in place that would include hiring a strong CEO or general manager and management support. They need to be given time to prove themselves capable in running the business. And this should give future buyers some comfort knowing the business will be able to go on without you.
And also part of that is demonstrating a robust growth plan as well. Potential buyers will be more willing willing to pay a higher sum if there are opportunities for future growth. So this could mean new products, geographic expansion, or new channels. Planning and partially implementing these opportunities could shore up confidence so buyers can see the potential and be willing to invest.
Right. And the strength of the M&A, mergers and acquisition market in any given industry can easily shift. This can have a large bearing on buying interest and ultimately the valuation of the business as well. So getting the business in sale-ready condition as early as possible is important so you can respond proactively to changes in the market. Now, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, how attached are you to your business and how likely are you to sell it if the price is right? Let us know what your thoughts are. Like I said, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. So, actually, we've got Ray Chow, the CEO of Infront Consulting Group, Master Business Coach and Owner's Circle, and President of EO Malaysia here. And we'll be getting him to help us understand the thought process behind business exit strategies and also factors to consider before embarking on it. Just maybe you can say hi for now, Ray.
Hello.
Okay. And I know this is not the first time you sold a business, right? So, and if I just maybe before we get into other questions, like was the thought process different with the first business you sold as compared to the one you've just...
It was very different, right? And it's also in the middle. So this one was basically an 18-year-old business. Mm. So the one that I sold first was a 3-year-old business.
Okay.
So it's very different. So that one was specifically built to sell.
Right.
And this one wasn't.
This one wasn't.
At the start.
Oh.
Well, that's why you're here. We want to hear the whole story, right?
All right. Okay. So you were giving up your baby, basically. Mm. All right. Okay. We'll continue our conversation right after this. Stay tuned to Enterprise Biz Bytes BFM 89.9.
Beyond frivolous mishmash, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes this Friday. Frida Liu together with Christine Wong. We're talking about preparing to exit if you're a business owner. If you have any thoughts around this, please let us know via WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or Twitter at BFM Radio. We've got Ray Chow, CEO of Infront Consulting Group, Master Business Coach at Owner's Circle and President of EO Malaysia to understand the thought process behind business exit strategies and also factors to consider before embarking on it. So earlier on, you were saying, you just recently sold a business, but a couple of years ago, you also sold another one. Mm-hmm. And one was built to exit and one wasn't, right? What was different in terms of the most recent sell?
The most recent one?
Mm.
I guess the most recent one, it was something that I considered about 3 to 4 years ago, right? Mm. At that point, I was in a juncture of my life, right? So I had a calling from above and it was really about what am I going to do with the remainder of my life, right? So I realized that this business, although I have a lot of passion for it, is not something that I would continue on, right? I won't be doing this until I die.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Now, in your opinion, should all entrepreneurs be thinking of exiting the moment they start a business? In hindsight?
Oof. I think it's a very difficult question to answer, right? And the reason is because I think some business owners, they build a business out of passion. And that's a totally separate topic, right? I can talk for another an hour on this. But I feel that many business owners, they need to have a goal. Mm. Whether it's exit, whether it's doing something else, whether it's leaving the business behind for a legacy or something else, it has to have a goal.
Right.
Many businesses that I talk to, they don't have that goal. So they start the business and then they just say, okay, let's see how we're going to go. Okay. Let's how we're going to operate. Let's see where this is going to take us.
Mm. Right.
But without having that goal or mindset to exit, we really get lost along the way.
You talked about passion. I know you say an hour, but never mind. We'll try to. So, is there anything wrong then to start with business with a passion?
So I feel that passion is a good door opener. Passion will get you started, but passion will never guarantee success. Mm. Many people that are passionate, they love something, they start a business with it, but you realize that they got lost along the way. Why? Because I feel that passion is something that you really love to do, right? But what happens when you start a business with it? Passion then becomes work. So when passion becomes work and all the crappy stuff comes and not managing teams properly and the business is not coming in, revenues are down, does passion get you through? Passion is not going to get you through, right? You're going to have,
Okay, so if the whole point is that, if not an exit, but you do have to have some sort of goal, right, when you start a business. So if your goal is an exit or if at some point you encounter the moment that you realize I should prepare for this, right? What are the considerations when preparing to exit your business?
Okay. So from our experience, I think when you have figured out and you want to exit, then the first thing that we have to do as business owners is we have to stop treating our business like a bank account, like a personal bank account.
Okay.
Right? A lot of us in business feels like, oh, this is my business. This is my company. I should be able to take any money out. I should be able to do anything that I want because it's my business.
Right.
But okay, the minute we think that we need to exit the business, people buy companies that are profitable. Right? Okay. Many business owners, you know, there's a taxation thing that we have to consider.
You want to declare a loss, actually.
Right?
Right? So that you don't have to pay taxes.
Exactly. Right. So no company, no investor wants to buy a loss-making company.
Yeah.
And people buy based on your profits. Mm. So that is the one major consideration for all business owners.
Okay. Now, thinking to exit, planning to exit, and starting to exit, right? What's the process? How do you start? When do you start?
So I think a lot of us have this dream of selling the business. Mm. But a lot of us don't have the mind, or rather know who are we going to sell to. So for this particular business, when we started planning to exit three and a half years ago, I really scoured the industry, right? So who would possibly be a buyer of this business? And I think many companies and many friends that have sold businesses, when I asked them, they had this person in mind.
Okay.
They had this company in mind. So I think the first thing when you're planning to exit is have the person in mind, have the company in mind. Okay. Who's going to buy us, right? Which industry is going to buy us?
I mean, it's like any product, right? You know, if you're going to sell anything, you have to already have the buyer in mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because why? So why is that important, right? That is important because we need to know, just like why a customer would buy us, why an investor would buy us. So we need to know how they operate. What are they missing?
Okay.
What are their pain points? Why? Okay. Why do we appeal to them?
Okay. So you have to go there and tell them, you need us.
Or we have to build towards why they would need us.
Right.
Right? So when we were exploring that, that's why we explored telecommunications providers. Mm. Right? Because we knew that telcos needed another form of revenue generating because in the future, everything is going to become a commodity in telcos.
Right.
So they needed something else.
Okay. So apart from trying to figure out, okay, who would actually want to buy the company and also what about the company is sort of worth buying as well, what are some other things that you have to consider or negotiate when you're going through your exit?
So negotiation is an art, right?
Yeah.
So I think number one is, like I mentioned earlier, right? So the company has to be profitable.
Mm.
Right? So as business owners, we need to change that. Mm. We need to make sure that the company is profitable at least for a couple of years.
Okay.
Right? So no charging your cars to the company, no buying handbags for your wives to the company, right?
So that was what? That took about 2-3 years?
It takes about 2-3 years. Mm. Well, it took me 2-3 years, right? Because we needed to show a historical record, a trend. Right. Right? Because every investor is going to come in and says, hey, and how has your company been performing over the last couple of years, not just in the last couple of months?
Mm. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Building confidence.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So as we were saying that, you know, you recently sold that business 2-3 years, right? And you also mentioned that, you know, you have to think differently and cannot charge handbags. Why is handbag and all that, right?
Right.
What about the other factors, right? Is it easier when you're a sole owner and when you got partners, who are they all on board, getting them all on board?
Well, any more people than just yourself will always complicate matters. But that's not to say that's a bad thing. Right. I think through the business, for me, I've always operated business with a partner.
Right.
And that's just how I operate. Right. It does complicate matters because there's one other opinion other than you. So if your partner has a different mindset, different alignment, different values, and he or she just doesn't want to sell, and you really want to sell.
How?
Like some sort of compromise or something has to be made, I suppose.
Yeah, so there's a lot of talks. I guess in a way, it's kind of like in a marriage, right? You don't agree in everything.
Any kind of relationship requires communication, right?
Right. Mm. So you have to talk about it. But see, the difference is this. in a marriage, you have love. So ultimately, somebody will say, okay, I love you. I'll give in to you, right? Mm. In a partnership that isn't love,
right.
So there's no reason why I should give in to you. I don't want to sell. Why should we sell?
Okay.
So that's why it goes back down to what I always believe in, that every business in a partnership must have a shareholders agreement.
Mm. Okay.
Right? And this was one of my failures in my first business, right? When I got partnership issues.
Mm.
Okay. I think we do have to take a really short break, though, for a couple of messages. So obviously, we do have Ray in the studio with us to talk about this. If you want to get in touch with us and be part of the conversation, we're on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Here's some Aretha Franklin and George Michael here on BFM 89.9.
Blockbusters for me. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bikes. I'm here together with
Christine Wong.
We're speaking to Ray Chow, CEO of InFront Consulting Group, a master business coach at Owner's Circle and president of EO Malaysia, to understand the thought process behind business exit strategies. He's just sold one of his many businesses. You know, and of course, we're talking about this, and we've got a very interesting question from a friend of mine, Yvonne. And she just, you know, WhatsApped me and said, you know, when can I get the podcast? So I said, well, it's going on live right now, so you get any questions you can ask, right? And so she's got this very interesting question. So I've got several business friends running at loss and keep digging their own retirement funds just to pump into business. How long should these go people hang on due to sentimental values? Because they started the business 20, 30 years ago and now refuse to face the fact and to let it go. Let it go.
I think this is a very, very sensitive topic, right? As business owners, I'm afraid that some of us treat our business like a child. We nurture it, we grew birth to it, it is ours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, a lot of things, we make bad decisions.
Okay.
Right? I know, you know, we have all seen that poster, you know, of people digging the hole, and it's only one dig away from the diamond.
Right.
Right? And we're all fixated with that decision. Yeah. No, we've got to go on because it's one dig away from the diamond.
Right.
But here's the thing, if we are in business, we've got to know whether there's a diamond there in the first place.
Okay.
We can't just dig and assume that there will be a diamond there.
Okay. It's like in this case, right, it's like, I know the diamond factor, right? How do you remove the emotions out of it? I think that's the thing, right? You sometimes you know, in your heart you know, but how do you then remove the emotions, and you see red still, you know, it's like one more year one more try lah, you know?
Yeah. What's like the breaking point, I guess?
Yeah. I don't think we will ever know. Okay. But I think we need to know that everything is based on time. You know, time is a limited resource, right? Mm. And everything that we do, we eat in specific time and we're never going to get it back.
Yeah.
Right? So one of my biggest mistakes in the past, you know, one of my business failures was that I kept on at it, right? And I kept on bleeding. And I just pumped in so much that I had to make sure that I would reach the diamond.
Mm.
But I never got to the diamond.
Mm.
What's worse is that I just bled until I just had no more money.
Right.
So even if I wanted to dig, I had just no more energy to dig.
It's like if you break your shovel digging for the diamond, then there's no point, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, what I could have done, right, is I should have just stopped. And at least I had money to go and do something else.
Cut your losses.
Cut my losses, save whatever I have, do something else. And I probably had stand a better chance.
Right.
With that failure in my first business, it took me at least 2 to 3 years to recover before I could start my next one.
Right.
So imagine if I didn't. I would be earlier 2 to 3 years.
So if you are like Frida's friend and you would like to also ask questions, we are available on Twitter at BFM Radio and on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Now, before the break, we were talking about how when you want to prepare for an exit, you need to sort of have your buyer in mind. I'm curious to know, what happens if you get to that point and let's say you get into that meeting with your kind of your dream buyer and you go in and you're like, well, actually, after talking to them, I don't feel it anymore, or they don't even want to buy it necessarily. What's the next steps from there?
I think once you have a buyer in mind, just like if you have a customer in mind, you're not going to just go after just one customer. You've got to go through a few. Right. And if you meet your dream customer and they don't turn out to be the so-called dream customer, right?
Yeah. The one.
I think you have to let it go. And it's very important, right?
Right.
I think in any partnership, and when you get a buyer, it's going to be a new partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I think the alignment of values, Alignment of purpose, alignment of goals is very, very important. Especially if you as a business owner, you sell it to another company and you still want to carry on and be there.
Mm.
So imagine, right, if you're going to marry somebody that you despise, you know, it's going to be a very, very difficult journey.
Right.
Same thing. So you've got to, number one, you've got to have several different options and then see which one would basically align to your values and your goals a lot better than the others.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. So in your most recent buyout, or the fact that you sold, right, was it discussed upfront that you continue to run the business? Is it usually the case, or most of the time you say, okay, thanks, you know, all this was sort of decided prior?
I think it depends on you, right, as the business owner. Are you wanting to, what is the motivation for the acquisition?
Mm.
Are you being acquired so that you want to grow? Or are you being acquired so that you want to just step away?
Right.
Right. So if you want to step away, obviously you can negotiate such that you are completely exited out of the business.
Right.
And as many of that has been happening, right? So for me, I wanted to be acquired to grow, at least for a couple of years.
Okay.
Because I knew that without a bigger form of database or a bigger company, there was only a limit amount of, there would be limited that I could grow, right?
Mm.
So I needed that extra push. So for me, I negotiated that I would stay on for a couple of years at least, and then I could see my options after that.
Mm.
And in the meantime, you're also doing some succession planning.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Right, and it's important for the acquirer, right? Mm. So they want to know that when they buy the business, it needs to continue on.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm not going to be there, somebody else has to be.
Mm. Right. And actually, I guess, how do you make that decision as well? You know, when it comes to succession planning, how do you, I guess, kind of lead or groom like the next person? How do you have that conversation with them as well to be like, look, I'm thinking about this. I'm planning to exit the business. I'm planning to do so and so and so. You have to be prepared for all of this. How do you get someone ready for that kind of transition?
I think that's why most acquirers or most business owners, when they get acquired, they serve a period of about 2 to 3 years. Because it sometimes takes that long to have that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a 24-hour thing. Where, hey, you.
You.
I'm identifying you.
Yes.
This is what's going to happen. See ya. It doesn't happen that
way,
exactly. Right?
Darn it.
Yeah. Okay. So it takes a while.
Okay. Now, I know, I just want to ask as well, right? When you sold your business, right? Were there any setbacks and things you didn't anticipate? And one of the things that I remember you were telling me, that was another company similar like yours sold to another telco, and then they got the new telco's company name, and it became very difficult to do business. And then so that was something you noticed. Hey, we got to keep continuing with our name so it doesn't confuse our clients, right? Other than that, maybe you can elaborate a little bit more about that. And other than that, what other things were you like, hey, should have thought about it?
Mm. So I think that was something that we went into the negotiation with, right? So I think once we go into a larger company, so for us, we went to be acquired by a public listed company.
Mm.
And in a public listed company, there's a lot of processes,
yeah,
right? Nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, from an SME perspective, we thrive with agility.
Yes.
So that would have been taken away from us. Agility would have been taken away from us. Mm. Speed, right? Especially in the era of speed, right?
Yeah.
So I knew that was coming. And as you rightfully put it, there was an example that I could refer to.
Mm.
So when the other company went in and they got merged up, their branding changed, they became a bigger brand. But unfortunately, it was very difficult to pitch to clients anymore.
Right.
Right. Because they became a telco company.
Ah.
So when they started pitching for jobs, the customers would say, wait a minute, don't you sell mobile phones?
Mm.
Right. Whereas I'm selling technology.
Right.
Right. So some of the other things is like processes.
Mm.
How are we going to be aligning towards the processes? Because I'm sure bigger companies have a lot more processes than us.
Mm.
And lastly is the teams, our people. You know, as small companies, as SMEs, right, our teams and our people are the most important, right? They're the ones that grow the company. So how are they going to feel about it, right? How will they be merged into the whole culture?
Yeah.
How are we going to merge the culture? And that's strange sometimes, right?
Yeah, because you have to communicate about that kind of transition as well.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want your employees to feel like they're being left in the lurch of a bigger decision. You know, you don't want them to feel like unstable, especially, I mean, during the pandemic as well, when everyone was already feeling so
insecure
about... Yeah. You know, the job security and stuff, to go through something like that and then not communicate, you know, it's okay, you're going to be fine, or we have a plan or something, you know, I think that's really important.
Exactly.
Right?
And a lot, see, our teams have worked for us and they're dying for us, right?
Yeah.
And they don't want to feel that, hey, you know what, we've done all of this for you and you just make one decision and then just Bye-bye.
It's almost like people want to be cared for or something.
Exactly.
Wild. Anyways.
Okay, if you have any questions, because I'm going to ask Ray the last question, but if you have any questions in the meantime, do WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Last chance. Or tweet us at BFM Radio. But I just want to ask this one question, right, where, you know, you talk about, just very quickly, talking about culture, understand culture and processes. So how have you, how are you dealing with it now? Because it's happening right now as we speak. How are you handling culture and processes?
Okay. So the good thing about, so we didn't merge up to the brand, right? So we stayed, our brand stayed. Mm. It was easier from a culture perspective. So right. We maintained our culture, we maintained our location. So we didn't have to merge that culture in that sense. So that was good. Right. But processes we had to. Mm. So a lot of the public listed compliances had to be integrated with us,
right?
HR policies had to be integrated. Okay. For example, one of the things that we really negotiated very hard. So as an SME, we gave a perk of unlimited leaves, right? And the acquirer went, how can you give unlimited leaves to people? Right, everything has to be tracked, right? Ooh. So we negotiated hard on that. We put clauses in the offer letter saying that when a person leaves, you know, they can't take unlimited compensations.
Like, it's like when you're saying unlimited leave, they don't just not do their job.
Correct.
Right.
So we had to figure out a lot of these different processes. Mm. Right? So processes had and a lot of negotiations. Right.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, we have to, as an SME, we have to be mindful. Mm. And we have to give way, right? Mm. I mean, if we want to be acquired, we have to play ball as well.
Right.
So a lot of these compliances came and we just integrated.
Right. Thanks for, you know, clarifying a couple of things with us. I guess you got to be in the thick of things to really experience it. Ray Chow, CEO of Infront Consulting Group, Master Business Coach at Owner's Circle and President EO Malaysia. I've just spoken to us about how to prepare for an exit. After news, one is the Breakfast Grill Replay. A Malaysian-based company, GraphJet Technology, will be converting palm kernel oils into graphite and graphene. And this company aims to raise $150 million via a de-SPAC deal for NASDAQ listing October this year, and set to be the third Malaysian unicorn. CEO Lee Ping Wei will share with us business expansion plans, why the route of SPAC listing, and how the rise of EVs will impact them, and all happening after news at one. On that note, on behalf of Christine Wong, myself, have a fantastic weekend. You've been listening to Enterprise Biz Bites, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.